You are listening to First in Human, where we interview industry leaders and investors to learn about their journey to in-human clinical trials. Presented by Vial, a tech-enabled CRO, hosted by Simon Burns, CEO and co-founder.
Featuring special guest host, Amy Delmedico, VP of Ophthalmology.
For this episode, we're joined by Dr. Samar Mohanty, President and CSO of Nanoscope Therapeutics, to discuss the company's revolutionary gene therapy. This therapy aims to restore vision in people with retinal degenerative diseases by introducing light-sensitive, multi-characteristic opsins into retinal cells, potentially enhancing daily activities through improved light detection.
Hello, I'm Amy Delmedico, and I'm VP of Ophthalmology here at Vial. I'm here talking today with Samar Mohanty from Nanoscope Therapeutics. Hi, Samar, welcome.
Hello, Amy.
My first question for you is really just what inspired you to focus on gene therapies for retinal diseases and what led to the founding of Nanoscope?
Since its inception of optogenetics, researchers have been focused on making optogenetics as a toolkit to modulate activities of selected neurons by light activation to understand how the neural circuitry function. In my career, I had chance to lead optogenetics program at multiple institutions, wherein I made key contributions such as past demonstration of near-infrared optogenetic stimulation in cells and in animals. But I found that patients with retinal degenerative disease, they go blind, they lose their sight, and light-sensitive retinal cells, namely rods and cones. And since eye is transparent, it led me to wonder if we could impart high enough light sensitivity to the remaining cells of retina, namely bipolar cells, so that we can resensitize them to ambient light, and thus we would have sight-restoring potential. This prospect became very compelling and exciting to me after reading on retinal degeneration and realizing there were no available treatments. However, to be restorative at ambient light, in addition to high light sensitivity of the optogenetic molecules, or called opsin, they need to have light sensitivity across the visual spectrum, that is from blue to the red, and able to address retinal degeneration patients with highest unmet need. Optogenetics provide the best from cell and gene therapy. We repurpose the existing cells as de facto photoreceptors, which remain intact and integrated in the retina, even in the advanced stage of the disease. So a significant market opportunity existed for an optogenetic platform that could restore high-quality real-life vision. And after observing the robust efficacy and safety of MCU in multiple mice models of retinal degeneration, we founded Nanoscope for clinical translation of this transformative therapy.
Thank you. I do think this is one of the most exciting areas of ophthalmology. And I wondered if you could elaborate a bit more on the science behind the MCOs and how they restore vision.
Yes, sure. MCO is an optogenetic biotherapeutic platform comprised of a multi-component transgene, a cell-specific promoter enhancer, and a proprietary delivery system. The bioengineering we conducted to develop MCO platform is unlike anything that has ever been tried in optogenetics and for retinal degenerative patients. The transgene is made up of three distinct light-sensitive molecules fused into a single contiguous protein when expressed. Unlike classical optogenetics, two of these three light-sensitive molecules are not transmembrane. Each of these light-sensitive molecules is highly sensitive to different parts of the visible spectrum, so that the overall fusion protein is highly sensitive to the broadband ambient light that normal eyes are sensitive to. The components of MCO platform, the promoter enhancer, and each light-sensitive molecule in MCO are tunable, making it possible for us to optimize the characteristics such as kinetics, sensitivity, and target cell type that are tailored to the needs of patients and underlying pathology for specific indications. Here, I would like to note that while our proprietary AAV vector allows efficient manufacturability and tropism for targeted retinal cells via intravitreal delivery, we have a non-viral delivery approach to target central retina, which matches the geographic atrophies.
the non-viral approach that you've developed, the laser-delivered NOD technology, what are its main advantages, would you say, compared with traditional gene therapy delivery methods?
Yeah, so the viral package gene therapy have been shown to target well in ophthalmic condition, but are known to evoke inflammation primarily due to the viral capsid. While the inflammation can be controlled and tolerated, especially in advanced retinal degeneration patients, we envision a non-viral approach may be better suited for mass indications such as geographic atrophies. Furthermore, it will be ideal for targeting the atrophic areas of GA with therapeutic genes, leaving the surrounding healthy retina intact. Our non-viral laser delivery approach overcomes the challenges of viral delivery and provides a unique opportunity to efficiently deliver opsin encoding genes to GA lesions via OCT image guidance. In the nano-enhanced optical delivery or NOD method, the nanoparticles are mixed with plasmids and injected intravitreally before low-power near-infrared irradiation of targeted retina occurs to transiently and locally enhance the light intensity, leading to permeabilization of the cells and uptake of the plasmid. Another key advantage of our non-viral laser-based NOD method is the ability to redose precisely. As you know, geographic atrophy has certain progression rate, and OCT-guided laser beam can paint the new atrophic areas and sensitize those photoreceptor-lacking regions with the therapeutic opsin without being hindered by immune rejection.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, geographic atrophy is certainly a hot topic at the moment. And I know from what you said previously, MCO-010 does target a broad spectrum of retinal diseases. How does this address the genetic variations present in these conditions?
Optogenetics as a method has long been considered a gene-agnostic approach for restoring vision due to a variety of genetic mutations. In preclinical models and now in clinical studies, we have shown that MCO can restore vision not just in a mutation-independent manner, but in a disease-agnostic manner for all outer retinal degenerative disease. Since advanced retinal degeneration patients have no photoreceptors, we target the next layer of retinal bipolar cells, which are intact. Thus, irrespective of gene mutation and underlying pathology, we can restore light sensitivity and high-quality vision by repurposing the bipolar cells as de facto photoreceptors. We have so far treated 35 patients across three trials and therefore have the largest population of optogenetically treated patients. I want to emphasize here that before, there has been no approach like MCO that restores sensitivity to ambient light across the visual spectrum in real time in these patients across dozens of mutations that cause the retinal dystrophy.
Extremely interesting, Simon. Very exciting too. I wondered about one aspect of your therapy is that it can be applied in different lighting conditions. Can you describe the mechanism that allows for this?
You are right in noting that historically, optogenetic field has struggled to realize therapeutic potential because no one light-sensitive molecule can perform well across different intensities and colors of light presented to us in our daily living in real time as they are presented. Thus, prior attempts have used light intensifying goggles and have struggled to truly benefit patients with regard to restoring high quality vision. The simple answer to the unique mechanism by which MCOs can work in ambient light that lies in the structure of the fused protein. Each of the three components is highly sensitive to different colors of light. If you think of ambient light, whether it be sunlight or office lighting, we are generally talking about some type of white light where a mixture of colors is present that we see blended. So one is sensitive to any given color, then it is only sensitive to a fraction of the light in most common places, and thus effectively not that sensitive at all. But if you're highly sensitive opsin to multiple color of light that span across the visible spectrum of white light, such as MCO, then one will not only be highly sensitive to those individual colors, but the ambient light conditions are sufficient for MCO to generate a vision signal. The components of MCO amplify light and light-induced photocurrent by acting in unison. The unique structure of MCO also provides a high dynamic range. It means the treated patient can see in a bright sunny day, in an office building, and even under starlight, in a cloudy moonlight.
It's very impressive. I imagine developing a therapy like yours has met with some challenges along the way, as any sort of development program does. Are you able to discuss some of the more significant hurdles that Nanoscope has overcome in developing the technology?
From the start, the selection of multiple light-sensitive molecules from nature required significant R&D activities. Further, a significant amount of bioengineering had to be deployed to fuse them together in a manner that allowed each component to not only add but multiply the effect without compromising the kinetics. There is also a limit to the size of the transgene that AAV vector can package. While this is not a concern in classical optogenetics, because the microbial opsin sizes are within AAV payload capacity, the MCO fusion protein size is rather large. So we had to remain within the limit imposed by the AAV capacity. So getting sufficient AAV yield with an acceptable full-to-empty ratio was a challenge. It required us to utilize a proprietary vector that could handle the large transgene. A lot of virgin ground remains in the regulatory landscape for gene therapy, specifically with ocular gene therapy for patients with severe vision loss. First, MCO is a mutation-agnostic gene therapy and therefore will be the fastest therapy in gene therapy space for any indication. So we had to develop the strategy and relevant functional potency assay for the new mechanism of action. Second, there is no approved therapy for severe vision loss patients. Therefore, no precedence on the endpoint. Something as simple as a validated test to measure vision and vision improvement in this patient simply did not exist when we started. In this instance, we not only had to develop novel tests to assess these patients, but also validate them and then educate the regulators on their usefulness. Still, there is work to be done to establish clinical meaningfulness. Lastly, retinal degenerative patients are constantly on a decline in vision, and it may take years before the true impact and magnitude of such restorative therapies can be assessed with respect to the control group. Further, there is no natural history for these patients, especially very low vision patients. Therefore, we are working with regulators to define intermediate clinical endpoints so that clinical outcome assessments measured at earlier time points can reasonably predict the future impact of this restorative therapy.
It sounds like you're leading the way with novel endpoint development and certainly novel testing and validation. I wondered, given the potential life-altering effects of your therapies, how Nanoscope is working towards making these treatments accessible to a wider range of patients in the future.
Absolutely. We believe these retinal degeneration patients have been waiting long enough. Now, IRDs are the leading cause of blindness in the working-age population. The patients can't wait anymore, and we have to find expedited pathways to make these transformative therapies available to them on an urgent basis. FDA and specifically CBER leadership has been publicly vocal that gene therapy approvals are a priority in this season and that avenues such as accelerated approval are attractive paths and becoming the norm to get these life-changing therapies to patients. So our strategy within IRDs is twofold. Firstly, within IRDs, we hope that initial approval for advanced RP patient will be followed by a label expanding approvals to all IRD indications. Secondly, we hope to expand the approval to moderate vision loss patients so that it can benefit a large majority of all legally blind IRD patients. We also see our results in Stargardt macular degeneration as a read-through to the benefit that MCO treatment can provide to advanced AMD patients, specifically those suffering from geographic atrophy. We are working towards taking it to the clinic towards end of this year.
Yeah, there's no doubt about the level of unmet need. It's very exciting for those patients. My final question really is just to do with looking ahead to the future. I wonder what your thoughts are on the state of gene therapy research for retinal disease and how you see Nanoscope further contributing to advancements in this particular field.
Since most rare diseases in retinal degeneration space have underlying genetic mutation, gene therapies are going to be obvious choice for restorative and durable outcomes. I see Nanoscope as pioneering mutation-agnostic gene therapy so that the therapy can be democratized to a wider population irrespective of underlying mutation that has been known to be associated with these diseases, or there are mutations that are yet to be identified. Our clinical programs have shown that such mutation-agnostic therapies are safe, durable, and beneficial to patients. I hope that the groundwork we have done in this space will not only make it easier for our pipeline programs to advance at a rapid pace, but also help other retinal gene therapy programs in development. My view is that a historic opportunity for retinal gene therapy is emerging, where technological advances, efficacious clinical data, and regulatory momentum are coming together in a way we have not seen before. I believe that Nanoscope holds a strong position within this historic opportunity to serve patients with highest unmet needs globally.
Samar, thank you. That was absolutely fascinating to hear you talk about what you've been developing. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, and Google.